The epistle lesson for this third Sunday of Advent is recorded in the epistle of James, the fifth chapter, beginning with the seventh verse, and the words are printed for you there in the bulletin. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So far the word. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who fills our lives with hope and peace and security, dear fellow redeemed. I've got a little quiz for you this morning that I'd like you to participate in. And you can participate by simply listening to the questions which I'm going to ask and then formulating answers to those questions in your mind. Statement number one, I want it. What did you put in the blank there? Now, yeah. Very appropriate response there. I want it now. How about if I said, not next week, not next month, not next year, not tomorrow, but now. Some people would want to put today there. The next one, a very common prayer which we might say, dear God, give me patience and give it to me now. Yeah. How often haven't you prayed that prayer? We live in a world of now. We live in a world of instant gratification and instant satisfaction. And if you want to question that statement, which I've just made, just think about these facts. We have things like instant mashed potatoes. We have TV dinners. We have ramen noodle cups. We have hot and ready pizza. You can go down to the corner down here and go into Little Caesars, and if you've ordered online, you don't even have to talk to anybody. You walk in, you punch in your code to the machine, the door opens, you grab your pizza, hot and ready, and go. We have entertainment services that are constantly streaming things to us so that we have instant access to shows on our TVs, on our phones. We have those phones, which you can hold in your hand, and you can have instant access to all sorts of information. You can access your bank accounts. You can access your emails almost instantaneously. And when you grab that phone and you try to do that, and it doesn't immediately show you what you want, you punch the button again, thinking that that's going to get you faster results, right? Companies like Amazon offer us two-day shipping. And when the package is not there by the end of the second day, you're sitting in your home stewing about it and wondering, is that package ever going to come? We live in the world of now. We want instantaneous results. And as a result of that, patience is a rare virtue in our society. And the impatience which we are so prone to display affects the various spheres of our everyday life and makes our life very challenging because it can be difficult to wait, difficult to be patient. And so James comes to us this morning in the fifth chapter of his epistle, and he writes to us about the importance of patience. Patience with the problems that we face in our day-to-day lives, patience with the people that we come in contact with, patience during times of persecution, when the world turns against us because we are followers of Christ, patience during those times of suffering in our lives. And James says to us, be like the farmer. Listen to him again. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. So you also be patient. Put yourself into a farmer's shoes for a few moments. Perhaps some of you grew up on a farm, or you grew up in proximity to a farm and were able to watch what was going on out there. It takes a lot of patience to be a farmer, because there are so many uncertainties in farming, so many things that are out of the farmer's control that he has to just patiently sit by and wait out. For example, he has absolutely no control at all over the sunshine or over the amount of rain that his crops are going to get. He has no control over the temperatures. He cannot heavily affect the growth of his crops. He cannot prevent an enemy invasion from coming and destroying his fields. He cannot prevent theft or vandalism by individuals. He can't fully stop the animals from coming and grazing on his crops. As a matter of fact, he cannot even guarantee that the seed which he plants into the ground is going to sprout. So much is out of control for the farmer. He has to wait. He has to be patient. He has to pray and see how things are going to turn out. Can you imagine being a farmer without having any patience? I can remember as a young child, we always had the backyard garden and delighted in planting that garden, and I would become impatient waiting for that week to 10 days for those seeds to sprout. And sometimes I'd go up there and dig those seeds out of the ground and see whether they were actually doing anything under there. Well, what good did that do? It destroyed what was growing. But my impatience led me to do that. There are a lot of times in our lives as God's children when we are put in the position of a farmer, because there are a lot of things that are out of our control. There are problems that we have to be patient with, and sometimes we can't do anything about those problems which come into our lives. We have absolutely no control, for example, over the stock market or over housing drops. Friendships can at times fizzle out. You can be driving your car down I-95 and all of a sudden it goes kaput right there in the middle of the highway and you're left stranded. You dry yourself off after the shower and all of a sudden you feel there's a lump there which was never there before. We have no control over politics and what happens down there in Washington, D.C., or in Richmond, or in anywhere else. And then, of course, there's just life in general, which can throw all sorts of different problems into our paths. What do we do in those situations? We have to be patient, right? We have to patiently endure. And that's exactly what James is encouraging us here in the words of our text. We wait on the Lord. We look to him. We look to his coming. And James urges us and teaches us patience with our problems. And he also urges us to have patience with other people who are around us. And why should we be patient? We should be patient because we know the Lord is one day going to come back. He is going to come again. And in our text, James mentions it three times in these few verses. He lifts our eyes from our current problems and our current sufferings, and he says, get your eyes directed away from those things and direct your eyes instead to your coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we take our eyes off those problems and we look again at Christ, what do we see? We see a Lord who is in control. We might look at the world around us with all of its problems and all of its difficulties, and we might conclude, this place is a mess. We're living in basically chaos. We're living in brokenness. We're living in a world which has a great absence of God. But yet Scripture reminds us God is still in control. And one day he's going to return. He is the one who is in control of our life and our circumstances in life. He is the one who orchestrates all things for our good in him. And he's the one who will take our hands and lead us safely through the minefields of this life until finally we enter the joys of eternal life in heaven. We have a God who is very merciful and compassionate toward us. It's interesting, the word which is used here in the Greek for the word compassionate to describe the Lord is what is called a hapax legomenon. In other words, it's a word which is used only once in Scripture. The Greek word there is polysplanknos. Splanknos has to do with the intestines. And it is a word which the Greeks used to describe the inner churning which goes on within our intestines at times, and how that can make us feel all out of kilter and out of sorts until the problem is resolved. And that is the word which James uses here to describe our Savior. He is compassionate. He churns. He sees what's going on in our lives, and he feels what we are experiencing, and he has compassion on us because he's suffering through those things along with us. He cares so much about us in our sufferings and our problems, just as he cared about Job and the prophets, who James also mentions here. You and I are blessed. We are blessed because in Christ, we will be able to persevere through the problems and difficulties of life. So James says, focus your eyes on your God who cares, on your God who is merciful and compassionate. Focus your eyes on his coming again. Jesus' return as the judge of all mankind is good for us as Christians, because it means our final salvation, our final vindication. It means the end of our suffering and stress and pain and heartache and persecution and loss. It means a new heaven and a new earth, a new body, and a reunion with those departed ones who have departed in the Lord. Jesus' return is what gives us hope and comfort and encouragement so that we can face each and every day of our lives. It means something better is indeed coming. So as James encourages here, be patient and stand firm, for the Lord's coming is near. Amen.